All right, perfect. Okay. Now, Jared here is here to talk to him. He wants to be on the support of the planning board. Make a decision.
Well, I was originally asked to be a part of the zoning board from Wade. I've lived in Tolono for almost 2.5 years. My wife has taught school here for 13 years, and that's why we built our house over in Bryce. I just wanted to be a part of the community when we moved here and found opportunities to be a part of the community. Me and my wife are actually hosting the summer kickoff party at Eastside Park on June 8th. So just trying to be more involved with the community and make it more community-oriented and have more people move to Tolono and just make it a better place to visit and live.
We've got openings on the funded board, too.
Another non-paid position, by the way.
My wife is in charge of the fun day at the school. So.
Oh, good. Have her come join the fun day here.
But apparently there's an open village board position.
There's one open village board position, and there's one or two open on the planning board. I know there's at least one open on the planning board. So those are the two. What do you have the experience in?
Well, I've been vice president and a part of the board member of the Central Illinois Youth Football League. So I coach 7th and 8th grade football. I worked for Coca-Cola, been there for 6 years, and had my own business for 6 years. I'm involved in the community for youth and organizations in Champaign, and just kind of want to keep on going where I live.
Okay. Thank you. You guys have any questions for him?
Well, the zoning board's doing a big overhaul of ordinances.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You want to get involved in that, or?
That's why I came here.
Wade's going to be mad that I tried to recruit you for this board now.
And then I got recruited by sitting here,
This is a more of a time commitment than the plan. Planning right now is a time commitment just because they're doing that overhaul.
Right.
And once that overhaul's done, and then you'll just deal with zoning issues and
Would it be feasible to be a part of both?
One or the other. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I was more apt to being part of the village board when I moved here. That's what my wife wanted me to be on the team, but I was asked by Wade, but I didn't realize that there was a position on this board. So.
Okay. Well, we can't vote anything tonight anyway,
as well as the other.
At least we'd had a quorum.
Got 2 weeks to think about it.
Exactly.
3 weeks, isn't it?
3 weeks, I think. Yeah, it's 3 weeks to think about it. If you don't have my contact, get it from Wade, or you can get it from Brandy or something. You can shoot me an email or a text and tell me which one you're interested in.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, thank you for sharing. All right, well, please, since you're up front, you got anything for us?
We need to hire people?
Yes, we do.
As far as fun day, I've put out some calls, waiting for callbacks. Hoping to maybe pick up a buddy or two for help.
Perfect.
But right now we're just...
Did you get a little skip?
No, he's out of town.
He's still out of town.
He's there Thursday. That message, he was supposed to call back. And then still hoping to hear something back from Homer PD. I don't know, he must have been off for a couple of days or something, but... Still waiting to hear from there, and then...
Perfect. If you can hang for just a few minutes, I want to do executive session with you.
We won't be able to go into executive session because you can't vote on it.
Can't vote on it. Never mind. You're free to go.
No problem.
Unless you guys have anything for him.
Well, I mean, you're running the meeting, but
okay.
You might have him stay for 5 or 10 minutes just in case someone shows up.
You don't mind hanging for a few?
No problem at all.
All right, engineers and Matt. We can't vote on anything, so...
Can't vote on the Water Main Award, so we'll just skip that for now. Bring that back next meeting.
That might be something we have to cut this year.
Okay.
The budget still hasn't been passed, and we can't pass it today because we don't have a quorum. Because of the little mix-up that we had with our last treasurer,
mm-hmm.
we're off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And... nothing been embezzled or anything like that. Funds just got put in the TIF fund and kind of back and forth, and so we had to pay back TIF, and
okay,
so we had to do some rearranging. So this is going to be a very slim year.
Do you think, should I notify Bob Brown, the apparent low bidder, that it's unlikely, or should I just hold off?
I have two board members. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be unlikely right now, unless okay. something massive happens to that line again.
And I'll tell them that you guys will officially vote on it in your June.
Yeah, and tell them we're sorry. We will.
Right.
We want him to do the work.
Sure.
We were really happy with the last one he did.
Sure, and I'll let him know all that. I mean, he understands these kind of things happen.
God, was, yeah. So
that's what I'll do. I'll just kind of just let him know it's unlikely, but they'll officially be voting on it.
Now, will those permits be okay for next year? Because it's getting close.
What you'll have to do, and it doesn't take in, it would basically just be us writing a letter, or you guys writing a letter even to the EPA, just saying, hey, nothing's changed on these projects. We still want to use them. We just want to get a supplemental permit for this. And all they do is send you a letter and say, you're extended for another year. Or
okay.
However long, you know, basically. And you can do that indefinitely. As long as nothing drastic has changed, you know, someone hasn't come in and done something crazy different, then usually they just send you a letter back saying, yeah, you're still good.
Okay, perfect.
Next one is the motor fuel tax. We got bids in on that. It was high. I talked to Matt a little bit about it. I talked to the contractor, because the same guy that did it last year, and I guess supposedly on this, it's a CM90 mix, is this cold mix asphalt. They were trying to get its foot in the door a few places and stuff, so they were cutting prices last year. Well, the bid price on it alone is like 40% higher than it was last year, and it's the big ticket item.
Okay.
So what we came up with, there's three options here. So we had the resolution passed for, I think, around $158,000 or something, which covered the work and the construction. The bid came in at $198,000 just for the construction.
Okay.
So, you know, we were a little bit floored by that and called called the contractors we knew and just said, you know, what's going on with this? This is, you know, obscure. So basically, option one is basically we just say we're not doing anything this year and basically roll those MFT funds into next year's program. Option two was basically, and let me just hand these out to everybody because that'll be easier to see when I talk about it. All these right here.
Yeah, now we can vote.
See if you
have a Justin and I have been, we rearranged.
And these are basically kind of the two marked up options. So the first one with the yellow highlighting on it, that would be basically we would be doing exactly what we proposed, except we would have to cut the streets that you can see marked out at the bottom and X out on your map. That would get that budget down to what that yellow number is, which would be under our original estimate, which I think was like 142 or so for the construction side. Obviously, you don't get as much. This would be the exact same treatment as last year still, but you're getting so much less because that bid price on that CMA was about 45% higher than normal, and it's probably the bulk of cost in this program. If you flip the page to the highlighted sheet there, this is basically another alternative, and we use this in other towns. It's basically a CM300. It's just a different oil that mixes with the asphalt. It takes a little bit longer to set up, some things like that, but it achieves the same things. It improves your crown so that you get better drainage on the road. You know, it fills in low spots and so on and so forth. We've used this basically in Potomac pretty much the last, well, every other year for the last 6 years or so, and it seems to hold up well as the same, and it's a lot less costly. So you can see there, it's about the same price. We wouldn't have to, the only thing we would lose would be 3rd Street completely. And you can see on the bottom right in the spreadsheet area that the East Street and Maple, I believe it is, would basically just be a seal coat only, which I kind of talked with Matt about. You know, we have a couple options here. If you guys basically say, well, we want to get this thing awarded and we're just going to cut all those streets, we can do that. But what happens is because of cutting so much, the contractor has an opportunity to adjust their bid prices. So that's going to inflate back, which we kind of took that into account when we said how many streets we had to cut there. We figured, you know, maybe we have to cut one more than what we really think if the bid prices stay the same. If we want to go with the pink option, which is basically rebidding it with a different cold mix asphalt mix that's a little bit cheaper, We would have to rebid this, get it back on IDOT's Bolden, and probably come back here with a new bid next month, late next month probably. But it could still be done this year, and you would get basically what's on the pink sheet. Or we can modify that too, because I talked to Matt about the Maple and East Street area, and that could be tweaked where maybe we would take East Street off and try to get Maple done, or maybe we just take it off completely, because he's kind of under the impression, as am I, that area probably needs more than just a seal coat. It's probably not gonna, it's gonna be putting a Band-Aid on it. So, three options: do nothing, cut a lot of it, or modify this mix and get the majority of it done, are kind of the three generic options.
Cutting all of it would actually help us catch up. That's why we don't have a balanced budget.
We're gonna have to patch like crazy then.
Yeah, well, Austin and Galloway.
That's bad.
Divorce is bad too.
Well, but that's not completely true. We're taking a bunch of money out of our general fund to make up for the MFT. We're taking how much? It's like 40,000 of this is out of our general fund. Okay, about 40,000,
right.
And now that the bid is higher, so we'll even bring more out of our general fund.
Well,
so it's going to be.
Between the amount of our discrepancy in our bank account and with IDOT, and then the overage that we were looking at transferring 66.4 from general fund to MFT.
So, what do we have to pick up in MFT?
Did Ben Setzer, did he ever say, because sometimes it's a discrepancy because their auditing doesn't happen every year there.
He sent me a bunch of reports
okay.
I gotta go through.
Okay. And
we haven't had a chance to go through them yet.
Usually what it is what's in your account is actually what you have because you spent it. You
yeah.
know, sometimes it happens where people spend other MFT they're not supposed to and they have to replenish it, but usually it's...
So I don't think we did because we were fine. We adjusted it a couple years ago to kind of make it all right. So I think our MFT account's right once we get through all the papers and stuff. So that means this project will cost us another 60-some thousand. And that's with their bid, not this bid, right?
That was with the bid of 141.
So this is another, what, $12,000? No. Never mind. 141, right? You said 141,
if
right?
We cut,
no, this is 130. Okay,
yeah,
so.
If we cut one of those options, it would be a slightly
like 10.
Less hope.
Do it the opposite way.
And really, we have as much flexibility as we want to have. So if we're going to rebid this, it may be that we're cutting, maybe we want to do a $100,000 program or something. Or maybe you don't want to do anything. I mean, it's completely your guys' decision. You know how that goes, obviously.
What do you think, Ryan? You're more in tune with the roads.
What's wrong with oil and chip like we've done for the 40 years I've been alive?
Well, what I'll bring up is what you brought up, I believe, at the one meeting is we oil and chip this road in 2017. Why are we having issues there?
Well, those issues because we took too much of the good surface off and it's too thin and then it's cracking.
Right.
So that's an obvious answer, but I don't know. It just seems like we're not getting very much roads for, I just feel like we're going to get behind.
Right.
And my second question is, I guess, where the heck did we get off of $60,000? How did we get off? I've never had that answer.
She's got the pay. She hasn't had a chance to go through because we're working on the budget.
It was by like $38,000. Don't know. I just got reports from IDOT. I have to go through and match it with our annual reports of what we've approved and then figure that out. But because this was so much higher than what was going to be in our account, even with that $38,000, that's where the 66 came in.
There's a lot of things I think we can do. First of all, patch. We lack still in that. That's a deficiency that we have. We have the equipment, and we do not use it to up to its par of what I consider that we should be using it. What's our linear? I don't know. I guess I need to digest this a little bit. See, it just seems like we're not getting very much. And I'm saying this because we're dealing with what we need to deal with here.
Sure.
Yes, this is the optimal way to go here, but if we can't afford that, then we got to start looking at B or C to get our coverage, because if not, we're just going to do a little bit all the time, and we're going to always just be chasing our tail, and we're going to have streets that people are going to complain to me every year, which we'll probably have some of that anyways, but...
Right. We can certainly just do a seal code if that's what you guys...
I almost think that's what we need to look at. Look at what streets, you know, I know some of these are in terrible need,
really bad.
But if we could get half of this and get twice as many streets so they stay nice, and then come back and start looking at this.
Right.
I think that's something we need to look at. I'll be honest, I haven't had enough time to really go through the streets myself, like Matt can.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's entirely up to you guys. The motor fuel tax, in my history, is just, it's never going to get you on the cycle you want to be on. I mean, the seal coat, usually you're seeing those on it. If you put it on a really good road that's in pretty good shape when you do it, you might get 7 more years out of that. If you're putting it on a real bad road, it could be next year. So it just depends. So, but those are definitely options. I mean.
And I know this Vorsey, this little section of Vorsey is really bad. If you have a chance, drive over that. I mean, there's holes in the road.
Do you want me to just talk about it now?
Yeah, it's
how
really
bad. How big the holes are? I've got one right at the end of my driveway.
Yeah, it's that section. We needed that. We could cut everything else off this project, but that little section of road needs to be done.
Right here.
Yeah, this one right here. This 300 pin. That section right there. I mean, that is the worst road in town, I think.
This section is not far behind it.
Well, no, but I think I agree.
Because I was supposed to get done last year, but they didn't because of the water projects.
Exactly. And we spent more money, which was cheaper last year because they were trying to get that stuff in, but that's what we needed to do for the truck route. And that'll last for a long time on the truck route. I would like to match this all up because the trucks run this occasionally too. But I'm okay with chipping it. But this little section of Vorsey needs... We can cut everything on the project but that, for sure.
That's why we did this road assessment.
Yeah.
Tim came down, did that whole assessment. I went back, kind of re-looked at everything, and shifted some things around. So the roads that are on there are in terrible shape. So.
And I guess that comes back to my point. It might be better to... We know these are terrible. They're going to be a total reconstruction. Is it better to resurface good roads so that they stay good, so they stay in good shape,
challenge,
and then put this off for a year?
The only one we can't, I mean, I really don't want to put off the Vorsey one. That I don't even know if our guys could even get that in decent shape with the patching stuff. I mean,
so, and I
looking at you for that, Matt.
That's the discussion there, because if we just do Vorsey's, that's... You know, we need to make it as worthwhile as possible.
How much more is that going to cost to get them to come down here for...
Yeah,
one little section.
It's not going to be cost efficient for us to just to do that one part. So.
And if you guys want to table this meeting, I mean, we probably have to vote on it really soon, though, right?
If you're going to award it, it would be better to vote on it now. If you're going to rebid it, I mean, I guess either way. If you guys need to talk about it more, there's still time in the year to get this kind of work done.
Okay.
People run this stuff up through... I mean, if the weather's nice, the middle of November, but typically asphalt plants and stuff like that are going to be ceasing production November 1st. But we still have time. I mean, you know when Eric was here last year, Matt? Do you remember? Was he here August?
It might have been a little bit later. It was pushing harder.
I mean, they do this, like I said, you've got some time. So if the answer is we need to think about this, come back next meeting, come out of, you know, you guys need to talk about it a little bit and see which direction you want to go, if we're going to modify this and rebid it or not. And if we're going to modify it, rebid it, we just need to know what that is so that we can get that. Getting the IDOT docket and stuff, it just takes, you know, we send it to them, and it sits on a desk for a few days, someone reviews it, sends it back. You know, it's a couple week process, and then it gets on the docket for 2 weeks. So you're looking at probably 4 weeks from the time that we get something sent to IDOT that we would have a bid.
One question I have between yellow and pink option, what's the life expectancy of the road from, because I'm sure one's...
The biggest difference is, so the CM90 mix is, it's a little bit stouter mix. It sets up quicker. It can take, you know, part of the reason we used that last year was because we were doing the truck route, you know, and it seemed like it worked great. And last year when we looked at cost on this thing, it was not that much more than the CM300 mix that we've used in other places. So we said, hey, let's go again. Well, now the cost is apparently 50% higher, and more or less they were trying to say, yeah, let's do more of this last year. We're realizing, I did talk, so the CM300 mix is more or less just it's a true cold mix. You mix oil and rock in a pug mill, and it can sit there for a couple days. It's like a pothole patching mix, more or less. It basically takes a little bit longer setup, and what they do, we still spec it so that they would basically let it sit for 7 days. People drive on it. If there's a little bit of rutting or whatever, that's okay, because they're going to come back and re-roll it before they seal coat it. So I would think that you're going to get a similar product, maybe not quite as resilient to maybe what I would call truck traffic as you would to like residential traffic. I would imagine it holds up fine. We've done it in Potomac on a lot of streets. We drove those this year, and the ones we've done seem like they're holding up very well still. And it's much closer to that cost of what we got last year for the CM90 mix.
So my suggestion is we table it for this meeting. Everybody take these maps and drive these roads and get a good look at them. I drive this Austin one almost every day.
I've been up on Vorsey.
Yeah, Vorsey. I'm not denying these roads need to be fixed at all.
The one thing about Austin,
I'm not either. I'm just.
Project.
I understand where you're going. And we need to get as much food as we can get done.
We tore Austin up for a water project and said we are going to redo this road this year.
Yeah.
Told everybody we're going to redo this road.
And
so now we're going to get another year of when's the road going to get fixed. We've had a year of when's the yard's going to get fixed. Now it's going to be.
And my biggest fear is if we go with the cheaper thing for the Austin one, it won't blend. How's it going to look?
I think you'll be surprised. I don't think the seal coat surface is going to be what they're going to see still.
Okay.
So really, what you're going to get with the CM300 mix, it's going to take longer setup. So it might still be a little flexible for the first week where some big giant truck drove through there or something, and maybe that would be the solution in areas where you think you might get truck traffic, is just close that off to them as best you can for the week after it's laid. Other than that, I'll tell you, you're not going to see a huge difference. I mean, the purpose of this is really to, fix deficiencies in the road, improve the crown so that this drainage can get off to the ditches, because that's what's happening, especially on Vorsey. You know, look at that, the center line crack. That's where it is you get the potholes all the way down that center line. And what's happening is the water doesn't have where to go. And even with, you know, ideally we'd get a crown there and get it off the side of the road, but there's not good ditches there either. I mean... Mm-hmm. You're trying to do as much as you can without doing a full-scale storm drainage project, road project, you name it. So
it's a highly shaded area, too, so
right.
The shade doesn't help us.
Nope. So, yeah, I think that's probably the best recommendation. If you guys come up with something, want to shoot us an email and say, hey, these are the roads that are most important to us. You know, what's it going to cost to do these, you know, maybe with that CM300 mix, and then the rest of these need it, but we're just going to fill the potholes and seal coat it. We can give you a cost on that so that you guys have something to work with.
So here's a question. Is it either an all or nothing CM90 or CM300? The reason I ask is because if the CM90 is a more durable product on the Austin street, that makes sense.
Sure.
But if, which is where we have truck traffic. But if we don't have truck traffic in these other areas, if the CM300 still works very well for those areas, is that an alternative where we put what's needed where it's needed?
Sure.
I can't imagine someone would want to do both, but I mean, it's just truckloads of stuff.
Right, and as long as there's enough of it, you know, what's going to happen is your CM90 price is going to go up and your CM300 price are both going to probably go up a little bit because now they have to,
right.
You know, they're doing 200 tons of this and 500 of that instead of 700 to one thing, let's
right.
go. But yeah, you could certainly do that. I don't have a whole lot of reservations about using the CM300. The CM90 was basically something they've used in the past few years, and we said this may be a good alternative for this, let's use it. And it looks like it's holding up great. The CM300 mixes that we've used in the past have also held up pretty well, but they've primarily been on residential roads. And I think that you'd probably get a similar product, even in the Austin area, as long as you're not getting heavy truck usage, say the first week or 10 days after that. If you could try to figure out a way, and maybe it's just setting up some barricades that are staggered that says local traffic only for a certain amount of time, where all the residents can get through, but it's staggered in a way mm-hmm. that truck traffic can't get through. Yeah, it's a challenge because every town, because if you want to seal coat stuff, you can do a ton, but sometimes it's like the next year you're getting the calls on the same roads you just did. I mean, we've been to towns that we went in and done our initial assessment like we did this year here, and we mark these as like the worst roads and go talk to the superintendent, and they said, well, we just did that last year. And it's tough. The motor fuel tax is not enough to really do it justice. It's basically a helping hand, but it's not going to do it all for you.
Are there any road grants?
If they are, they're mostly tied to large reconstruction stuff or safety issues. I've not worked on any, so I can't tell you that definitively. I mean, there's certainly funds out there for that type of stuff, but it's less likely, unless there is a safety condition that warrants it, it's going to be hard to get money.
Rena, if people ran on the road on Vorsey and they ran into a pothole, could they fall in?
Just about.
Yes, they're pretty big.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. Because there aren't any sidewalks on Vorsey, right?
No, there are
so
no
people
sidewalks.
Would be running in the road.
Yes.
To get their physical exercise.
And if a car was coming and they had to get off on the side and it was right in front of my house, they'd hit that hole and probably break their leg.
Okay. I was just wondering. Well, there's one safety issue.
There you go. It's got to be enough to sell it.
I know.
I don't
want to
give you money.
All
right. So it looks like we're probably going to digest this and get back to you.
All right. I only have one more. I'll say two more things. One, basically, as of last year, we did what is called an MS4 NPDS permit for you guys. Basically, you guys are big enough now, and based on wall changes and whatnot, you have to, what it is really just self-policing your drainage stuff. It's very basic. We did the NPDS permit and kept it as simple as we could last year with Matt. It's got like 6 or 7 best management practice things, from like informing the public to education about drainage to, you know, maybe cleaning your inlets, just pretty basic best management practice stuff. As part of that permit, for the first 5 years, you have to do an annual meeting, which I think we were supposed to do it in May, but it doesn't sound like they're dinging anybody for that. I think all I would say is we just get that on the agenda for the June meeting. And all that is you just put it on your agenda. It's during a regular board meeting, and it gives the public an opportunity to come and discuss any storm drainage issues or NPDS. You know, if they've got issues with big erosion or something, you know, they can come in and talk about that. And then we're doing the annual report right now, which is due June 1st, which we'll submit. And all it is basically of the 6 and 7 goals we set on these different best management practices for year 1, we say, did did we do this? Did we do good at this? Did we do poor at this? Could we not afford this? What happened? And then it's really just self-policing and reporting to the IEPA.
Perfect.
But yeah, that we'll need that on the next meeting's agenda. Just that it's the annual MS4 meeting. And then the last one, I've been working on a lift station proposal for East Street. I don't know. It sounds like you guys don't have your budget passed yet. I didn't know if that's something that I need to get together and bring in, or if that's being postponed.
I think East Street we're going to go with, and then cut everything else out.
Okay.
Cut the water project, cut the Elizabeth Station.
Okay.
And go with just East Street.
All right. Well, I'll try to get that prepared and brought back next month. So we can
unless it comes back astronomically expensive, and then it'll get put off.
I mean, it should. Yeah, I mean, obviously the construction price is subject to, you know, contractors and time of year. But my thought would be is if we were under contract in that by this summer, we should be in a good position to bid it this winter, which is an ideal time to bid this kind of stuff. And then basically they can get in here probably early next year and get started on.
Perfect.
And that's all I got on my list.
All right. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Matthew.
I got another extra one of these. I'll just leave it here in case anybody wants to look at it.
The only thing I had on mine was the approval of the water media antenna purchase. I did meet Larry Parker, and I met with Premier Cooperative last week, and they do not have a problem with us putting an antenna on the grain elevator. Electricity, that's not an issue. We can use whatever electricity they've got. But to get internet, we'd have to pay to get internet to that or a cell link to that as well. So that would be the only thing that we'd have to get with that. So
how much is that antenna?
We didn't really have well, that was the 20,000 that was in that he just sent an email saying this would be what that was. He was going to talk with the tower installer folks out of Mount Zion, have them come look at this, just get a hard number from them, and we should be good. I'm supposed to get a contract from Jeff Green with Premier probably later this week. He's going to write something up. He said they usually have a pretty generic contract that they have with that, so they have stipulations on what they want used, and I don't think there's going to be an issue with any of that. So.
And here's the thought on that. We had one board member bring up maybe revisiting selling the water and sewer systems to put out there. This is why I had Mark reach out to Jerry Hartman. And remember the report from a few years ago about our water system? Mm-hmm. This proposal is a proposal to update that report. It'll give us an idea of how much our sewer and water systems are worth if we do decide to sell it. It's an idea to put out there. Because if we decide to do this, it wouldn't make sense to put meters in. And with this, we were talking back and forth, and kind of what Sydney did is what they did is they had a couple town hall meetings. They got their consultants' reports. We're kind of waiting on the sewer report that Donnie is going to do for us. But looking at how much that's going to cost, how much those upgrades, how much the water system upgrades are going to cost, and kind of weighing that on whether we keep the system or not and how much we'd have to raise the rates to actually pay for the repairs that need to be done instead of barely getting by and putting projects off. So that's kind of why you have the Hartman thing. It's something we need to think about before we start paying for stuff with the meters and everything. I guess Sydney's after they sold it?
Yeah, it's formally sold.
Okay, after they, there's a possibility.
It hasn't closed,
but there's a possibility.
What happens is you go through a request for proposal period, you pick out bids, you pick a preferred candidate. There are not a lot of candidates out there. You negotiate the deal, you bring back the contract, you vote on the contract, and then the water company takes the contract to the ICC, and then there's about 4 to 9 month window where they finally sign off on it, and then they come back, and then you do your closing. So there's a long period between when you start and when you end up. So,
and my understanding is if we do a bunch of repairs on our system, it makes our system worth less.
That is correct.
Because they get what? They get a certain amount of repair or
they
return
get
8% on 8%
rate of return on capital investment.
So
that's part of the water rate that you get that the ICC approves for. The reason that they still turn out to be pretty cost effective is because they're doing it on such a large scale that rate of return is minuscule compared to the amount of savings they have because they're so big. In Sydney, our water rate, we went ahead and, regardless of whether we were going to sell or not, we committed to putting the rate at what it needed to be. So I can't remember exactly, but say a 2,000 a month gallon user would have paid, I think, like $62 or $3 a month, and we increased to that rate, and then went through the process, and that number will be $48 a month. And we sold the system. So that doesn't mean that you would have a better mousetrap than you have now. But no matter what, it probably makes sense for you to do the engineering work that you're doing where you're just looking at what you'd have to spend. And then you can start to compare apples to oranges to see if it makes sense to do anything or not. So you're heading in that direction. Jerry's expertise is to help put a number on where that might go. And that's what you'd be getting out doing this if you wanted to.
So it's more things for you to digest and think about.
So Tim's work would help Jerry.
Tim's work, in my opinion, is mandatory no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because it helps you decide what projects you got to do over, say, the next decade.
Yeah.
How much they're probably going to cost. It'll help you figure out how much you need to charge in order to pay for that, and then that data also is looked at by the water companies if they were to buy anyway. So, and part of what you work out with the water company and you negotiate is what they're actually going to do. So in Sidoras, Fisher, and Sydney, all of those contracts specify what projects are going to get done over the next 3 to 5 years. So that's why Sidoras is going to have all this looping that they didn't have. All these 2-inch lines are suddenly going to be 6-inch lines. All that's getting done in a specific time frame. Sydney has not quite the same, but it's kind of the same package as that. And they did that in Fisher, too.
And we can control rates for 2 years. So, but that also affects the sale of the water system. So we can keep the rates low for 2 years, but we'll take less for the water system. Or we could sell the water system for the most we can get out of it, and we can offset people's rates by some of the proceeds of the sale. So, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. It's about, works out to be about the same either way. But it was brought up at the last meeting, the meeting before, when we raised the water rates a little bit. We only raised them, I think our minimum rate now is almost $25 for our minimum, where Sydney's went up to 63 for about the same, but then after they sold their system, it'll probably go down to 48.
send me though is just water.
Just water.
Just water. Sewer. Just water. There's no sewer there. Our minimum rate's with our sewer too.
So. And you'll end up, I mean, if you end up kind of coaxing towards looking at it more and more seriously, part of the help that Jerry gives you is to make sense out of whether one's a better deal or not. And 30% of the time he tells you it's not a better deal to sell. So.
And I think our last report with Jerry, and I might be wrong, I have to look at the report again, he suggested we sell our sewer system but keep our water system. Because our water system, but I can't remember. Exactly. Something along those lines.
It depended what you wanted to do to get the best dollar if you're to sell both. But if you were independently looking at the water system, he's like, you don't need to sell it. But his worry was our sewer system because it's a system where we have done an excellent job of maintaining an existing system, but nothing matches. So in whenever we're fixing things with used parts from somewhere else, and we're kind of always constantly limping it along. That's probably not a good long-term plan, and it's an opportunity for major problems to possibly pop up. And that doesn't even take into account probably future regulatory requirements on limiting what we can send out into the river. So.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
And an option that Ryan's brought up several times is expanding our TIF district and bringing the sewer plant into the TIF. We have several, I've got one contractor who wants me to call him back, and I had another contractor that came in here one day. There's a lot of development over that way. We could expand a TIF that way, and we'd have to zone more into the village, but, and that's a possibility. Just expand the TIF, and all that TIF money would go directly to the sewer system and upgrading the sewer. I mean, there's lots of options here. We just have to pick one and go with it and not tread water.
You also need to know what your goals are, what your numbers are, and that's what he's helping you figure out.
Yeah, I think we need Tim's info and Jerry's info and then TIF info.
Do you want to redo Jerry's report or just go off the old report? Because nothing's really changed other than, I mean, the prices will be a little different because...
Well, your turnaround time on your analysis is a couple months.
Probably. I'm hoping that this next month the full monitoring will be done. We'll be able to come in and basically tell you, you know, here's the big issue, the big holes in your system. I can tell you already the capacity of the plant is an issue. I mean, I think that's not a huge secret to anybody, and the plant's extremely antiquated. But, probably within the next 2 months or so, we would have a report that would basically detail where your inflow infiltration issues are in your collection system and give you actual good flow data that your plant is seeing so you can see what you're going to have to size it for.
And that report will have the information that kind of projects what your capital costs are over a period of time? And
somewhat. It's not going to be a full-blown like a capital improvement plan.
I see.
Terry Boyer we gave him a proposal for Terry to basically do what we call a capital improvement plan for the treatment plant.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, where it's going to project out your next 10 years. Ours is really dealing with the flow capacities and the inflow infiltration of the collection system, and then detailing what capacity of the plant needs to be designed for today versus the future. And then Terry's would be more in detail at the treatment plant, saying, here are the needs at the treatment plant and the cost for them.
Would you have a overview with kind of a educated guess as to what the total capital expenditure would be over a decade so you can make some assumptions on what water rates are going to be?
Again, that's a little outside of where we're at, but
okay.
That's another, I mean, they've got a rate analysis study for the water and sewer rates from us as well, proposal, which is basically in addition to that. So this is really just identifying where the needs are at the system and pinpointing that, and then the capacity of the plant and what it needs to be. The next step would be Terry's capital improvement needs at the plant, and the next step would be the water and sewer rate analysis. They've got proposals for the remaining.
How long until we get to the end of all those?
If the report for the inflow and infiltration study is likely going to be in the next few months.
Okay.
And then if we
do the capital improvement needs thing, I would say it could be done as soon as we complete the flow monitoring data stuff. If you guys wanted us to proceed with that, Terry could get started on that and probably complete it about the same time, as well as the water rate analysis. Once the flow monitoring study is done and he has that stuff, he can pretty much go on the other two, and they could probably all be done within the next 3 to 4 months if you wanted to pursue them.
I would suggest that once that's done, then you have Jerry update things.
Okay, that makes sense.
Part of what, if you look at that exhibit on the back of his letter, he's asking for all these different reports, so that's what he's using to update his
mm-hmm.
report. And I think that would make a lot of sense.
Perfect. All right, let's set this down the road. We got your stuff going over the next couple months. Now we need to decide what we want to do with the water meters. Do we want to hold off on them?
Yeah, so we hold off
okay.
for now.
Jared?
What was the complete time for the sale?
For your purposes, you have those reports in 4 months. You talk about it, think about it for another 2 months, so let's add 6 months. And you decide you want to do an RFP. So you would add another 8 or 9 months, it takes you up to 8 or 9 months. And then you consider the RFP and you negotiate it and you come out to a contract. So let's call it 10 months to a year. So you're looking at a year and a half to 2 years before you close.
So we'll have your reports in 6 months-ish, 7 months. So we could do a referendum, Rena. How long would it take to do a referendum on the ballot?
For the primary? Let me give you those dates.
Okay.
They haven't got those yet to us.
Because that would be an option, too. We can have our couple hearings. We can put it on the ballot and put it for a vote. And then that would kind of get us moving down the road.
You want to put the sale on the vote?
Yeah. Put the sale on the vote, or keeping the system and upgrading it. I mean, either way, we're eventually going to have to raise rates. We have nickel and dimed it a long time ago. Right now, our minimum is $24.83 for water and sewer.
2 years ago.
And Sydney's is just water for 48-ish around in there. Well, it's actually 63, but it'll go down to maybe 48 or so. So, I mean, we're quite a bit less. And I think I like the idea of having a couple, once we have the data in front of us, having a couple meetings, inviting the public and saying, here's what we have to do.
Is the public going to come?
We did our due diligence.
That's my problem with putting on a ballot is we're elected to be educated and make decisions for our electors. Now you're going to throw this out to 2,000 people, say, here, vote on this. We don't know if you got educated or not. Or if you care or not.
If we don't put on the ballot.
Well, that's why we hold the meetings.
Then we hold the meetings and we'll decide from the we can, instead of doing the ballot, we can hold the meetings and go from there.
I'd rather do it that way.
Okay. That works too.
I'll say, just going through this, not this exact process, but process is when you're looking at significant rate adjustments, whether it's selling or doing it, getting a voter printout is going to be very difficult. If you throw something on a referendum that says, do you want to sell the water system, people don't have their options.
They don't understand.
They're just going to vote whatever. And if they think that's going to raise the rate, they're voting no, regardless if they've been in the meetings or not.
It's true.
One thing, we didn't do it at this last place, but one thing that may make a difference, well, one thing that always makes a difference is when they see the bill change. We had talked about in another location sending out with their actual bill a printout of what their bill would be under some new rates so they can actually see that before you have your meetings.
Which we can do that after we get the data from you too.
Then you'll have a good turnout. If people see, oh, my rate's going to jump from $25 to $75 or whatever it is, they're going to show up. In most cases, people, once they understand what position they're in, they're a little bit more understanding. Some people just won't.
Perfect. Any more discussion on this? A lot to think about.
I just want to throw in, if we lift the meters on for another 2 years, we're probably talking half that won't be working by then.
I know.
think the meter project we can put up. And I'm not even sure on the sale of water on a water system, are the meters even be that big of a price point?
There's, no, the meters mean nothing to the water company.
Yeah, it's water lines, station, pump stations, all that's going to be the.
So that, I mean,
I think we need to move ahead with the water meters now.
Okay.
And doesn't Illinois American even use those same meters? Some places.
I just met with their production superintendent Monday. He said that when they bought Fisher's, they're using the meters they have installed right now. So it's something that they're not going to come in and just scrap everything
right
out.
And that might be a good point too. Maybe we can continue to read them too, and if we get a leak report, we can get the leak report to people quicker than American Water could, since they're huger,
yeah,
or bigger. Huger, I guess huger is not a word, is it? Bigger.
It is today.
It
made the Scrabble dictionary.
Exactly. So, all right. Anything else?
The U of I Sustainable Energy came in today. Did a walkthrough of the treatment plan. They should have. I'm hoping within a month they have something back to us on some cost saving ideas from the energy side. So we probably walked through about an hour. I think he kind of seen what we already knew. The motors, the blowers. I mean, it's kind of the same thing over and over again out there. They're the biggest energy consumer out there. That's just kind of the nature of that beast.
Did they have a generator sitting out there?
Yes.
Okay, we having problems with electric out there?
No, that was one of the things we asked them to kind of have on standby.
Okay.
So that, if it can be hooked up or not, that I don't know.
It's on standby, though.
It's on site.
Any other questions for Matt?
Yeah, First and Main.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to talk about that.
By the railroad tracks,
yep.
There, that garage.
Yep.
Was that, how was that cesspool created? Do you know?
Not for sure. We went out last week and jetted a line along Main Street.
Which was that north-south road? Or east-west, I'm sorry.
What's that again?
The east-west road, correct?
And we were trying to get that line opened up to see if that would drop a pond, which it did.
It did or did not?
Did not.
Okay.
Apparently DJ had done this a few years ago. He had dug into there. There's only an access point, and it's like 600 feet away from where this is at. So we can't even reach it with the backer. We can get about 500 foot. That's about as much hose as we got on that truck. So either we have created another access point closer, so put another manhole in to see if there's something in that line or whatever. But what we did, we cleaned that line as far as we could. We pumped that pond out, and I filled that inlet with sack feet. And the homeowner was fine with that, because they thought that there was water coming back into there from our line. So.
It's a pretty low spot. How long ago was that garage put in there? It's just going to be because I've never noticed that much water in there in the past, I guess, is why I'm asking. And then was that ditching that was on 2nd Street, I think, in Maine there? Was that something you guys did? There's a couple houses that their sump pump pumps out into that.
Not sure where.
pretty sure it was Second Street. I took some pictures. I can show you after a while here. I know I'm kind of just throwing this on you here. But I think we might need to look into that ditching too, because it doesn't quite. And then we got some other issues with on Main Street. There's some water that's held up. And it's because culvert's full. And then a bunch of this mulch is damming that up. This is just.
They wanted mulch delivered. Well, all they did was kind of smear around that ditch. So we've got to clean all that crap out now.
Okay. And I think that's where we need to start talking of where culverts, what do we want to do with that? These are technically the residents' responsibilities. 90% of them are probably closed or clogged.
And we've talked about doing a culvert program.
Yeah, but I think it's to a point we need to actually do some action and quit just talking about it. And then the ditching, I know it keeps adding up, but I guess I'm tired of just talking about it. We need to actually do something figure out what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I've got a list. I've got a stack of work orders. I'm trying to get streets patched right now, water meters, and start cutting ditches. Culverts, it's just kind of a process. Mm-hmm. So
I understand.
It's in the queue of things to do. So with all the water we've had this spring, it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So
can we put on our agenda for next meeting to talk about culverts and what we're gonna do? Yeah, we need to either get them fixed or tell residents we need to fix them. I know we got our jetter, but that's...
Yeah, it can only do so much.
Sometimes it's just as easy to rip out a culvert, put a new one in, as to jet the culvert out, especially if it's crushed.
Did you get some prices on culverts?
So I think we just need to have that discussion and figure out what we want to do, and then just stick with that, and then we'll have to force whatever we decide.
I know other communities have either bought the culverts, dropped them off for them to put in themselves, or they had the people buy the culverts, and then we can go put them in real quick.
Mm-hmm. And
either way, it's...
Yeah, and I'm fine with whatever we decide.
Because
we
helps us.
Tell them, I'm just putting out a number, $200, and... We'll replace the culvert for you, or something like that.
Can you get prices on culverts? And we need to send one of the part timers around and start making notes of addresses where they're bad. I know up and down Austin Street they were bad during that water project.
And this
we
is going to
flooding that one by Woody's property.
This and getting the ditches running properly is going to save our streets.
Yeah,
and prolong them too.
I think you told us that one day too.
The biggest proponent of
streets.
And
where you see a hole, there's water that's set.
Cool. Anything else, Ryan?
Are you working Friday?
Yes.
Sorry. Maybe I'll hook up with you and we can look at streets and stuff and.
Anything else, Matt?
I just want to do something about the meters now.
Since we've already got the increase on the water bill, it's not going to hurt us.
No.
I mean, when we go and look at sell this, if it's $300,000 that
actually,
it changes, it's not going to affect.
It actually works out well
because
our first
percentage.
Payment's not going to be until next year anyway, so we will have the $20,000 by the end of the budget year. So, and we're not in dire straits with the budget. I don't want to spend more than we bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm trying to whittle things down.
Well, I'm sure, and if selling is what ends up being the best option, I'm sure that can be part of our negotiation. You say, hey, we still have, because that's, I would assume, our bill, even if we sell the system, that, take over those meters are.
Yeah. That would be nice. So.
Do we have the full cost of the antenna purchase? I know we got one a while back. I don't know how long ago that was.
I thought I had an updated price in there last meeting.
Last meeting?
In the last meeting.
Payment.
I don't remember seeing it, but that doesn't mean anything.
It was like 370.
I thought it was like 387 or something like that.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
It was like 60-something thousand.
Because you went through and did a better
annual
audit, and it went up just a little bit, didn't it?
What's that?
You went through and got a more accurate count on the bigger meters. And
yes.
So it went up a little bit.
We just need the antenna price.
Brought us a handout.
Yeah, we just need, yeah,
we just need the antenna price right
we
now.
Need the, what's the antenna price, Matt?
$20,000.
This $20,000 flat, and that gets the antenna. Does it get it installed?
I believe so. I think that was, he was going to have, like I said, he was going to have his tower guys come verify that. But.
Did you get us a definite price? A definite quote from them with installation and everything?
I don't think they'll break it out separately because if you're buying for the antenna, you're buying the meters. It's all kind of encompassed.
No, but you're wanting us to pay for the meters now,
you're,
right?
No, paying for the antenna now.
Or paying for the meter antenna.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was
that's
what we're trying to do.
That's
just,
what I'm...
Just purchase the antenna right now.
Yes, that was the $20,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
But we need a price for the installation. Is that included in the $20,000?
I believe it was. I believe that was. Yes.
Would you, because their quote may have only been good for 30 days, would you ask them for an updated quote for the antenna price plus installation? That way we see it in front of us and know the full price before we
do,
vote on it.
We wait till the next meeting. That way, I think we'll have. I can meet with the salesman, the tower guy, verify everything.
Yes, please.
Happens, so.
Yeah.
I just think the next meeting we just need to get it done so we can have it have it going.
So maybe just have them make sure the meters are all good too. Just make sure the meters are on there too, and then we have all three of them.
Yes.
So we vote on it.
Financial people
easily.
Too. We'll have to do that. Can you also get that application to Brandy so she can start working on filling it out? Wasn't there an application that we needed to fill out? There's a financial application for the loan. Is it already filled out?
I thought we did it like a year ago.
Yeah, because I think
I didn't think we.
Larry's, he said it, then he's going, sorry, and you guys already filled this out. So.
Okay. I just remember getting an email about it and I needed to fill it out. And okay. All right. Any other questions for Matt? Oh, God.
Do you want to address the water main project now, or do you want to wait till?
Oh, water main project. Do you guys want to put the water main project off? I took it out of the budget to more balance the budget.
I think we should hold off on it.
Okay. I think we should hold off on it. I took it out of the budget. The budget still is not balanced. The idea that I'm proposing, which I don't like this idea, is to go ahead and pass the unbalanced budget. Each each person's going to have to come forward, and everything's going to have to be approved, and we have to know why it needs to be approved, which I really don't want to do. But I've worked on it, cut as much as I can out of it. Jared's worked on it, and I don't know where else to cut. So I haven't got any input from anybody else on the board on what to cut or what to keep in it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
And there's a couple things in there that haven't been cut, but we're also not going to fill. Like, there's a couple positions.
Yeah, exactly.
There's places in there that are going to be some extra money.
Mm-hmm. We're saving money in salaries. That they're in there still. Hopefully, like, say the police department, with the salaries we're saving from there, we probably won't end up filling some of those positions if we do fill them. They're in there. We can fill them as time progresses. Justin wants them filled today because fun day is going to be a little rough. But there's some salary positions in there. There's some something else in there too. The water main project, the meters. That we don't have to pay for that until next year.
That's
so
that's
taken out. Never mind. Never mind. We already cut that out of there. So I'm not thrilled with this idea, and it makes. It's more work for the board, and it's taking power is not the right word, but it's taking stuff away from our supervisors where they're going to have to actually come to the board and justify every purchase.
I do not agree with the idea of, and I know you don't, I do not agree with the idea of passing an unbalanced budget.
Okay, well, it's
in
front
of
you, so
do the work.
Go for it. I've done everything.
Are we working on the FY20 working appropriation and budget? Is that the one you?
That's what I put in there for you guys to see what is actually in the budget, but
okay.
The actual budget ordinance is in there.
Right.
Because me and Jared and Murphy have hashed this out and hashed it out and hashed it out over the last 2 months.
He's getting down to we're cutting like $100. Certain things.
We're nickeling and diming it to death.
And it's going to suck. Justin's not going to be able to get new equipment for some things. Matt's, your tool budget's like halved or quartered?
$5.
$5. You have to make do with the tools we got.
Get your knife out. You have to make your own handles for your shovels.
Yeah. So we'll get you a lathe.
And that one of the problems we're going to have, too, is we're going to have Matt cut back on the part-timers he's using, but then he's going to have to use more part-timers this summer when he puts the meters in. So we can have him cut back on the part-timers, just have him come in until he hits summer. And if we want those meters put in by the end of summer, he's going to have to use part-timers. So that's where we're at on that. If we want to pass the unbalanced budget, I mean, Rena's the only one that hasn't looked at it. Have you looked at it? Okay.
I've looked at it.
So you got access to everything, right?
So going back to the using manpowers, why didn't we put that in with part of our as the budget of buying the whole thing and basically passing it on the water bills? I think I suggested that at one point.
And that's some of it is water and sewer bills haven't kept up with manpower increases. These are wage increases.
Yeah. I mean, the only way to get around a lot of it, I mean, the reason why our budget is running to next to nothing is we don't have the money to fix things. And we're putting things off, and the last 2 years we've been fixing stuff, but we've just run those funds to nothing. And I want to keep at least a year's worth of budget in the bank in case, because the state's going to be late on property taxes. It's going to be.
What is our current savings fund?
About
800, which is exactly what our deficit is.
Exactly. So
you know, one thing I think would help us with this whole thing is if we started doing a 5-10 year plan. We have nothing now. We're going year to year, day to day. I know that's more work to do, but
that's what we got elected for.
Yeah.
Well,
it's that's gonna set us up to know what we need in 10 years. It's gonna set us up to know what we're gonna need next year, and
we're doing that with the sewer right now.
Correct.
And
we still have, you know, that 5-10 year plan. Would put the village hall in that, you know, vehicles, Matt's buildings. Then we can look at, is it better to consolidate? You know, we have the property where I think we could do that. And then we can get rid of, well, we got 3 locations now.
We've talked about selling the Esda shit how many times?
I think we should be able to do that.
Especially
now that SNS is out of his building. I don't know if he sold it yet or not, but if both those go on the market at the same time, that's a nice little lot.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem getting rid of it.
I know, Fun Day's in there. We've got a couple things in there, but
Fun Day,
that's something we can look at, is
consolidate
3-4 locations, maybe down to 1. That's more suitable for what we need for the future. And like our village hall, there's nothing wrong with the structure of it, besides maybe fix some termite damage. But it is not ADA accessible at all. And that's just waiting for us to have complications with that.
Well, that was supposed to be on this budget, is make it AD compliant.
Yeah,
but we spend that money. How much was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
But it was quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, I think you were looking over $10,000.
I was thinking 20, but.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, we need to make sure we're not setting ourselves up for a lawsuit, because it's not. And once we do that, it's not just the ramp. We got to look at the bathrooms are not ADA accessible. There's a lot you have to look at.
They are.
Hallways, doorways, the way doors swing, clearances.
Yeah.
You sound like you work for an organization that takes care of that kind of stuff.
And you are correct. And that's kind of where we're at. I agree, because this
working on the budget
until the last very minute is maddening.
Yeah, and that's part of our, you know, where we're. We're just maintaining stuff instead of having this plan to where. It's just, I think it's something we need to look into in the quick future.
And I think we can get there. We're kind of going that way, and then we did a restructuring in the treasurer and clerk, and all that stuff got restructured when an employee moved on. But.
And the major thing is our water sewage, so we are heading in the right direction of that. But then I think we need to, you know, look at our facilities, what we'd like to do. I mean, this building is new, but in 15 years, we're gonna have to start doing, you know, maintenance stuff's gonna show up.
We already are doing maintenance stuff on it.
And you're right. I think we get water and sewer on track. The other stuff's gonna kind of fall into place.
Yeah. Those are a big.
Well, that's where our money's, our extra money that would take care of this other stuff.
It's just going down the drain.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we're just going to have to start advocating that our sewage and water bills are going up.
Oh, yeah.
In the near future.
Do more to break it apart so people realize that, make it bigger. You know, this is your water bill. This is your sewer bill. So
we
do realize there's a, you know, let's really look at it. People just look at that one number as well. That's how much my bill is.
Well, it's broken down, water and sewer on there. But the problem is the sewer is so much less than the water. And Ryan's brought that up over and over and over again. When that's why we did the 5% increase. I mean, it wasn't enough. I know it wasn't enough. But I want to get those two bills the same. That's my goal, is to get those the same. And that will help a little bit. But to fix everything, we would have to over double it. And I don't want to, because I pay that bill like everybody else does in here. But our system's going to crumble away, and then we're going to end up with a huge issue. So, I agree. We need a 5-year plan. We're getting there with the sewer and the water system, which, like Jared said, everything will fall into play. And once we get through this budget and we get to the MFT thing, and then we can start working on that, because I think it will be easy once we get there. Brandy's over here, like, get ready to stab me with a pen, but, so, so we kind of skipped ahead. So you want to table, how long do we have to pass our budget?
I need to pass it by the end of July.
Mm-hmm. End of July. Okay. I think we asked that question over here. All right. So let's table the budget for now. And everybody bring input. Yes, sir.
Are we good? Am I good to tell Bob that it's not happening? Sorry, I just wanted to get back.
The water project?
I think so.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Right. Tell him we're sorry. And you can explain to him why.
I will.
All right. Anything else for discussion on that? All right. We have some bills to pay.
Did you have a question, Terrence?
That lock bill was for the police department, and we wouldn't have had to fix it because now we can unlock it off the alarm system, which I knew we could have. I talked to Effie Moran, and they're like, no, we can't do it. So we got the lock fixed, and then Brian talked to their techie guy, and they got to talking technical stuff, and they figured out, yeah, you can do that. We can do that with any of the doors in here that have the locks on them. So that's why we have that bill, because that broke the last meeting or a couple meetings ago.
It was a couple meetings ago.
So, yeah. So it didn't really need to be fixed. We found out later. So.
Okay.
Motion to pay bills.
Did you?
In.
A second.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, we have a couple sewer credits.
Didn't we already take care of one of them at the last meeting? Because it's in here a second time.
Is that the continuation? Resident has had two prior sewers credits for the same leak in the previous months.
These are both dated the same date.
Is that the one that had the address on it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yes. One of them we didn't pass because it didn't have the address. Yeah, you're
thank
correct.
You. That's exactly what it was.
So we have the 117 East Daggy for $2,111.86.
And this is the one we paid a few times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the third one. Or no, yeah, this is the third one. They've had two previous sewer credits. They said the leak is fixed. In the front yard.
Oh.
They...
Have they paid those bills in full? Did they really?
No. Well, what sewer credits we didn't offer for the past ones, they've everything was paid before this.
Okay.
But they haven't paid anything. Wait and see if this sewer credits.
And we're not charging any late fees, right? Okay. I don't know. So.
But this one was the one that we had been sending letter after letter after letter saying, hey, you have a leak, you have a leak, you have a leak, and heard nothing from the person. Some were tried calling, got no answer, and it just kept going on. We kept sending letters, and then finally he says, oh, I had a leak, I got it fixed.
Do we need to change our protocol on that? And obviously it's hemorrhaging water if it's this high. I mean, and just go and shut it off and say, tag it and say, you have a leak. I mean, I wouldn't charge them the fee to turn it back on because we're
right.
going to do this as a
right.
preventative measure.
Were they out of town or something?
No.
I mean, because that's what I'm worried about. If my water line breaks, I'm out of town.
Yeah,
for 2 weeks.
Please shut my water off.
I would rather you
my hemorrhaging water.
I would rather you shut it off than get a $4,000
yeah.
bill.
And it's one thing. We'll do. I wouldn't even charge them for the call out if they call 5 o'clock at night and say, hey, I'm home. I have this tag. I need water tonight.
Right.
I'm fine with that too, but
I mean, it's too late to for this one, but just in the future, something.
But yeah, this has been months in the making. And he's called two other times, said it was fixed. We gave him adjustments, and apparently it wasn't even fixed, so.
Well, it's not going down the sewer system, and if he had a second meter, we'd be giving him credit anyway, so.
Yeah, I've got no problem paying the credit. Just
but I like the idea of changing the procedure a little bit if something's hemorrhaging water, just to go ahead and shut it off and put a tag on their door.
And with new meters, we would learn that a whole lot sooner.
Well, and what Matt's done before is either Woody or one of the part-timers that works in town, mm-hmm. they're the one on call on shut-off day, and they take home the little shut-off tool with them. And it's cheaper using one of the part-timers to come turn someone's water off in the middle and then it is one of the full-timers.
Well, I think we need to also send the guys out to check it and make sure that it's not leaking before we do an adjustment.
That would make sense, too.
Yeah, because he says he can provide the documentation if we need it.
I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Yep. New meters will help out a lot.
Can we just give me separate motions?
Yeah, for each residence.
Right. Motion to approve the sewer credit for 314 Winstone Drive in the amount of $109.84.
Second.
Roll call, right?
Anderson?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Thing?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Motion to approve sewer credit for 117 East Dagny in the amount of $2,111.86.
Second.
Roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Thing?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, minutes. Regular session minutes on May 7th, 2019.
Motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Executive session minutes for May 7th, 2019.
I make a motion to approve the executive sessions for May 7th.
King seconded.
Got your purple sheet?
Roll call.
No.
Oh. Give them about seconds to read it. Thank you.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
King.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Never received the water contract from URH, have we? Okay. All right. Jared, did you make up your mind yet? This is Jared Robbins.
Hi, Jared.
You guys missed him introducing himself and talking about
himself.
Sorry
about that.
Wade wants him to come on the planning board, but I tried to recruit him for this board. The issue that he has is he coaches football, but I said it's perfect because we have one board member gone for baseball. We'll have another one gone for football. So we'll always have a board member here. So, but he's digesting it and trying to decide what board he really wants to be on.
I did the smart thing. I asked my wife, and she said to join the village
board. So... that's the proposal we have. If any, do you have any questions for Jared Boyes here? Lives in Kinderwood.
Kinderwood, built a house on Bryce Lane 2.5 years ago. My wife has been a teacher here for 12 years. Fifth grade teacher, you know, third grade teacher, and that's why we moved here. So our kids could go to this school and be a part of the system. She wanted me to be more involved in the community. You know, she's a teacher, so she really can't do some things, you know, with that type of thing. And I always wanted to be a part of, you know, our community. And I was explaining that we were doing the summer kickoff party at June 8th, you know, to try to bring more friendship and getting to know your neighbor on that side. So, you know, I just want to be a part of it, and I'm glad I came to, you know, there's actually a spot open on that, you know, because I've always came to the meetings and everything like that. So, yeah. I coached football, like you said. I was actually the vice president of Central Illinois Youth Football League for 3 years. They changed things around to where coaches can't be executive members anymore, so good thing. But so I've been a part of the board and had to deal with a lot of stuff.
It actually kind of splits our board, 3 on one side of 45 and 3 on the other side of 45. So I know we don't need to split it like that, but it kind of splits it up a little bit.
At least for one more year.
Do what?
At least for one more year.
One more year. All right. Any question?
Do we have to wait on that since it's on the agenda for planning zone?
I would agree with that. You do have this agenda item that's appointed to the Z board. So
can we change that for next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that, but yeah.
That's okay. It still works out because if you guys do decide to...
A standing item on their note.
I know, right?
Appointments.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. All right, we have no special events, right? Anything for the good of the order?
I've been offered to go view a Mount Vernon and put these same feeders in. It's the same, you know, Larry's the same guy that I deal with. He's dealing with them. I wouldn't mind if they could see that sometime, kind of get their feel on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of do a once over through their system, maybe with their water guy.
I'd prefer that before we buy them.
I'm fine with you going as long as just you go and not two of you go.
Right.
If Summer or Brandy would like to ride along with you and you drop them off in the office and then they can go through the software and talk with the... I'm fine with that too. Whoever's going to be working with it more. But I don't want two maintenance guys gone all day because Mount Vernon's a little bit of a haul.
Yeah.
So I'm perfectly fine with that. I think everybody on the board is fine with that.
We can kind of get a hands-off feel.
Yeah.
For it, so.
Perfect. And then you can get people away from on their own and visiting without the salesman around. So.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a very good idea. All right, anything else? We're moving forward on a lot of nuisance. We've been forwarding the messages to these guys on the nuisance properties and stuff. Have you guys gotten any emails on them? Okay.
Are we going to executive session? Still?
Just for a minute, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have one thing for legal then.
Okay. But we've been pushing several properties on there back and forth with the lawyers and stuff. So slow process, painful process, but Mark's probably not happy with this, but our lawyer bills are a lot lower than they've been in the past.
Yeah.
So even with two lawyers going, they're still lower.
Well, I'm just not doing much work for you right now, so that makes it good for you.
It is. It's
yeah,
really
good
for us.
It's cutting me out of work. I've got no problem with it.
So. All right. Anything else for the open discussion?
Have we had any properties to the nuisance?
When's the last time we added one? Because we just got an
there's
email.
There's a couple on there.
Yeah.
That are like yards mode and stuff
okay.
like that.
Are we current? I guess I haven't
there's
taken
two,
the list and
there's
gone
two at the
before.
Bottom that Justin checked the other day for me, and he said they have been mowed. The other one I'm trying to draft the letter for.
Is there a fine amount like for unmowed yards, or is it just the general nuisance fine? So do we tag those doors like a warning? Here's a 7-day notice.
We send them a letter.
And if there's any properties that Justin sees since he's in daylight now,
the sun burn at all?
Feel free to bring them to us, and we'll make some pictures, and we can.
I can.
The board likes pictures. Please take some pictures.
I can make
pictures. It makes our life easier, and makes it easier explaining about it too. And if you can send them out, if you get them to Brandy, then she can put them in the board packet, or she can send them out in an email to everybody. Because that's the biggest questions we have. And I know you're trying to just get your feet wet. You got a lot of responsibilities going at you.
And my feet are wet.
And if you know, add things. If you want to assign one of your two other employees to do it, it'd probably be best if you just do it yourself.
I can get it taken care of.
And then you, several years ago, you went on a campaign on getting rid of vehicles, nuisance vehicles. It was several years ago. That wouldn't be a bad idea to think about again, because you got rid of quite a few vehicles back in the day.
That's back when we had Delavos. It made it a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, we still have. We have one in town, and it doesn't really matter if you call them.
No, I know.
I mean,
it's their tow bill, not ours.
Right. It's just more of a time issue waiting how long for a tow.
And I really, really want to look at impounding again. We talked about it before, looking at some of the ordinances from the other towns and asking them how it went for suspended drivers and revoked drivers, and they have to come pay the fine at the village and before they can go with their vehicle. And if it ends up in Champaign, it ends up in Champaign. So
Villagrove has it on their books, yeah. And it's usually it ends up in Tuscola.
So I mean, it works for Villagrove. And all your free time, if you can follow up with them and maybe work on an ordinance like that. So anything else? Good questions. Nothing? Any motion to go into executive session?
You read it so well.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you want to read it?
Did you say you have something for...
litigation, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Uh-oh. There's like three of them in my office right now.
I'm looking everywhere.
Actually, you can have
one here.
You can have this power cord because there's one in my truck that I can maybe give to you. I've been carrying it around in my truck for like ever.
The one here is the one that is the spare.
So we can go in to the executive session to talk about. Maybe do you want to talk about. Pending or imminent or probable litigation. To do that, we have to make a finding if we haven't already filed a case, which we haven't.
I can hold off on.
Why don't we talk
and get
outside
a hold
the meeting?
Yeah.
Yep. So I think we're just talking about employment matters. Then.
Yep. Okay.
I make a motion to enter into executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees based on 5 ILCS 120/2C subsection 1.
All right. Can I get a second?
Second.
Just roll call.
Anderson?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to take a few minute break and then we'll come back in executive session.